You'll never desire Christ until you come to this realization that you need to be saved. What then do you need to be saved from? What was so special that Jesus Christ had to become a man and had to come to this world and had to suffer and had to die? What was so special that we had to be saved from? Well, the answer is, friends, it's our sin. We don't like to think upon it. We don't like anyone talking about our sin. But the Bible does. It makes it clear to us. The book of Romans, in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us, doesn't matter how well we have been brought up, it doesn't matter how law-abiding we have been, it doesn't matter how well-educated we are, it doesn't matter how much money we possess, all of these things are irrelevant as far as the God of the Bible is concerned. Because God tells us all, we are sinners. We are sinners in His sight. God has given us a law. What is that law? He has given us the Ten Commandments. These commandments are written in your heart. They're part of your constitution. We might say in modern language, it's part of your DNA. The Ten Commandments are there. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not bow down nor worship any other thing. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. That's a brief summary of the Ten Commandments. And these commandments you know. These commandments are in your heart. And every one of us has broken every one of these commandments. There are no exceptions. We could take the first commandment, for instance. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And as we go about our business today, whatever that business is, we can be sure that we have other gods, and we worship other gods, and we serve other gods, and we don't worship and serve the God who made us and the God who formed us. Now you might think that's strange. You might think, well, that's not true, that's not right. Surely it's not correct to say that. But it is. It's true of us all that we think more of ourselves than we do of the God who made us and formed us. Anything becomes a God that dominates our lives. You see, the God who made us and formed us, who has given us life, and to whom we are accountable unto, He is the one that our thoughts should be taken up with. He is the one that we should worship. He is the one that we should obey. But we do not do that by nature. Instead, we are more concerned about ourselves, or we're more concerned about our spouses, about our husband, or about our wife, or about our sons, our daughters, our family, or maybe our money or possessions, or maybe our education, or maybe our entertainment. These are the things that dominate our thoughts and take away our affections, when our affections should be placed upon the one true and the living God. And therefore, we have broken the first commandment. The first commandment tells us, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And the reality is, that we have a multitude of gods before God. And we've broken that commandment. And the Bible would remind us, in the book of James, in the New Testament, read it for yourself, that chapter 2 would tell us that if we have broken one commandment, we have broken them all. That's the way it is for us. We cannot help it. We are born sinners. And therefore we can only sin. And we break the law of God. And therefore that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came. He came to deal with this great problem. He came to deal with this problem that we cannot deal with ourselves. That's what He came to do. And He is the only one that is able and fit to do it. Because He lived a sinless life. The Lord Jesus Christ was the only person that did not break God's law. He didn't break it in thought. He didn't break it in deed. And He did not break it in word. He lived a perfect life. Why? Because He was born sinless. That's the great difference between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. We inherit the sinful nature from our parents, who inherited their sinful nature from their parents. And so it goes right back to Adam and Eve, our first parents. But the Lord Jesus Christ was not conceived in the normal manner. He was conceived in the womb by the Virgin Mary. And by a miraculous work of the Holy Spirit. So that when He was born, He was born sinless. He did not have a sinful nature like you and I, like every other human being that's been born since Adam and Eve. And because He lived a perfect life, He was able to offer up a sacrifice. You see, that's what Jesus did on Calvary's tree. There He offered up Himself, that once for all perfect sacrifice, to satisfy the justice of God and to pay the penalty for mankind's sin. It's a remarkable story. It is astounding. It is staggering to think that the Son of God became the Son of Man in order to save people, in order to go through all of that, in order to save us. But that's what I said early on when I began to speak. That the Lord Jesus Christ came on a mercy mission. That's His purpose. And many people are ignorant as to why the Lord Jesus Christ came. Well, He came on a mercy mission. And He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And friends, you will never grasp and you will never understand and you will never marvel at this person unless you understand that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. And what's more, God has provided a perfect Savior. A perfect one. A Savior who's willing to receive all that will come to Him. I don't know how you stand today. I don't know the kind of life you live. But I know because the Bible tells me so, that all of us have sinned. Some more than others. And maybe you are one who has lived an openly sinful life. And maybe you might think to yourself, well, I've sinned away my opportunity. You may well think to yourself that because of what you've done, there's no hope for you. Maybe that's what you think. Nothing could be further from the truth, friends. Nothing could be further from the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. Here's a wonderful thing to take home with you. The Lord Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. He did not die for the righteous, because there are no righteous persons. He died for the ungodly. I hope you do read your Bibles. Well, there are a number of wonderful conversions recorded for us in the Bible. But one of these conversions surely is the conversion of the penitent thief, about the thief on the cross. You know that Jesus died on the cross. You know that. You cannot deny that. That's obvious. Everyone knows that. The Bible tells us about it. The whole of Christianity is built upon the fact that Jesus came and suffered and died. But you know, when He died with two others. He died in the middle and on either side. Two other people were crucified with Him. And these people, the two of them were thieves. They were robbers. And because they were going to lose their life, and because they were going to be crucified, it is very likely that they were murderers. Because the Romans would not crucify someone simply for being a thief. It's more than possible that they murdered someone as they stole. And here were two thieves. Real rogues, real villains, real deep-rooted sinners, and they were there being crucified with Christ. And they were criticizing Christ at one time. They were railing on Him, we are told, the Bible tells us. But you know what happened? One of the thieves changed. And one of the thieves turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Remember me, Lord Jesus, when you come into your great kingdom." Jesus was going to die, but he believed that Jesus would rise again. And he said to Jesus, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Remember me on that day." What do you think the Lord Jesus Christ said to him? What do you think he said to this chief of sinners, to this wicked murderer? What do you think he said to him? Did he say, "Forget it"? Did he say, "You're lost, you're perishing, there's no hope for you"? Is that what he said? No. The Bible tells us Jesus said to him, "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." And here this person was saved moments before he died, moments before he went into eternity. He was saved. Why was he saved? He was saved because he turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. He looked to Christ and he asked, "Lord, remember me." There's a real prayer from the heart. And this person, whom we would think had no chance, whom we would think was beyond saving, whom we might think that Jesus would cast off, Jesus says to him, "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." His sins were forgiven. He was right with God, and he was ready to die. What about you? What about you today? We might not have committed murder like that thief did, but we're all sinners. Every single one of us, without exception. And we're all guilty before God. Why is that so? Well, God is holy and God is pure. God is one who dwells in light unapproachable. And He is so holy that He cannot look upon evil. He cannot tolerate it. He must deal with it. And He has done that in Christ. And here is the very essence, the very heartbeat of the Christian gospel. If we will believe upon Jesus Christ, if we will receive Him as our Lord and as our Savior, we will be saved. That's the promise. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's what Jesus said. There's an invitation. And he gave that invitation to a crowd of people who were gospel hardened, who had heard him preach, and who had seen him perform miracles, and who had lived among them, but they were rejecting Christ. Yet He gives this universal, glorious, wide gospel invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm going to put it to you this afternoon that you're heavy laden. I don't mean you're heavy laden with luggage or heavy laden with shopping or even heavy laden with debt. But you're heavy laden with guilt. I can remember my days of unbelief. I can remember what it was like to be without God and without hope in this world. I can remember what it was like. And I know that you're burdened. What is the burden you're carrying with you? It's a burden of guilt. You know you're not right with God. You don't want to be confronted with it. You don't want to face up to it. You would rather withdraw from thinking about it. You'd rather put it to the back of your mind. Or we might say you'd like to bury your head in the sand and not consider it. But you have a burden and you're carrying it with you day after day after day. And this burden is your sin and your guilt before God. Well, here's a message and here's a Savior. He's willing to save you. He is willing to take your sin and deal with it. He is willing to have you reconciled to God. He is willing for you to know that your sins are forgiven and that you are right with God. How can this happen? The only way it can happen is because Jesus died in the room and place of sinners. And He takes our sin. He takes it and is punished in our room and place. And we receive His righteousness. There's a tremendous exchange that goes on. Christ receives our sins. We receive His righteousness. It's a divine transaction. It's invisible. But oh, you can feel the effects of it. You know that when you truly come to believe upon the Lord Jesus, then that burden is gone. Then that burden is lifted. Then you are free. And this is something you can know. And you can only know through Christ the Lord. Because Christianity is quite clear on this matter. There is no other Savior. There is no other way to be right with God. There is no other way to get to heaven. There is no other way to be at peace with God. It's only through Jesus Christ. Let's remind ourselves of the words He Himself did say. I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. No one. Doesn't matter who we are. There's no other way to God. There's no other way to happiness. There's no other way to fulfillment. There is no other way to deal with our sins other than through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we're here today from Partick, Free Church of Scotland continuing. We have a message. We have good news, and the good news is there's a Savior. And His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave His life a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. You know as well as I do that we live in times when there are a lot of different religions. But the Bible makes it clear there's only one God. There may be many religions, but there's only one God. There can only be one supreme being. And the only way to be right with Him is to come through the mediator that He has appointed. And who is that? It is His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a pleasure to be here this afternoon, on this glorious afternoon when the sun shines. and we see something of the glory and the splendor of the Creator, the one who made all things. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He's the one who has brought this creation into being. He's the one who upholds this creation. He's the one who has made and formed you. And because He is your Creator, then you are accountable unto Him. And we are here this afternoon simply to remind you that there is a Savior and that you need the Savior. And as you pass by, you may wonder, why do I need a Savior? Am I not self-sufficient? Do I not work? Do I not earn money? Do I not have a house? Do I not provide food for the family? Surely, in some sense, it's my life. I don't need to be saved from anything. But you do. The Bible makes it clear. God's Word tells us, however unpalatable it may be to us, it tells us that we're sinners. What is sin? Sin is any want of conformity unto the or conformity unto the law of God. You see, God has given us a law, and we are to obey it. We've never obeyed it. Never. We don't have that power. We don't have that ability. Why is it so? It is because we are sinners, and we cannot keep God's holy law. That doesn't mean to say that we're not responsible. We are responsible. God holds us responsible. And this makes it abundantly clear to us that we need a Savior. And that Savior is the eternally begotten Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask therefore that you come and consider His claims. You know, He's the most important person in the universe. You cannot dismiss Christ. You cannot dismiss His claims. He did say in His own word, heaven and earth shall pass away, but My word shall never pass away. What a thing for someone to say. We are surrounded with people who want to bring their opinions upon us. We have the media who are constantly bringing their opinion upon us. They don't simply give us news, they give us comments. And we have a multitude of people and forces that are trying to impress upon us the things that are vitally important in their sight and in their eyes. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who says to you this afternoon, heaven and earth shall pass away, but My word shall never pass away. What a tremendous claim. Well, He said that 2,000 years ago. And it's still true today. We're still dwelling upon His word. His word is true and steadfast. We can trust it because He is the Son of God. He's the one who has come from heaven. No one has ever come from heaven down to earth like the Lord Jesus Christ. No one ever. And He's come down from heaven in order to take us to heaven. Again, something totally unique to Christianity. This is one of the things that distinguishes Christianity from any other religion. Our leader is a Savior. He's the one who has come down from heaven with all the authority of heaven, knowing what heaven is all about. He tells us about it, and He tells us that in of ourselves, we are unfit and unprepared for heaven. But He has come that He might take us to heaven. What must you do then? You must believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You must receive Him as your Lord and Savior. You must call upon Him. It's wonderful to be able to speak about Him. It's wonderful to be able to tell you about Him and to hold Him up before you. But something is required of you in order that you might benefit from the coming of the Lord Jesus. What is it? You must receive Him. You must receive Him as your Lord and Savior. You must believe upon Him. You must trust Him. You must rely upon Him. You see, it's not simply good enough. to know some historical facts. It's not good enough just to know about Jesus. It's not good enough simply to believe that there was a person called Jesus who walked about Israel and performed wonderful miracles and whose teaching was sublime. That's not enough. You see, the devil believes all of that. The devil believes that Jesus is the Son of God. But the devil believes that and he trembles. Why does he tremble? He trembles because he knows his time is short. And he knows he will receive the due penalty that he deserves. He believes in Jesus. In order to be saved, friends, you must trust upon the Lord Jesus. You must forsake your own righteousness. You must not look to yourself. Instead, you must cast yourself entirely at the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we call conversion. This is what the Bible calls conversion. And what is conversion made up of? Conversion is made up of repentance and faith. This is what's required of you. You are to repent. You are to turn from your sins. You are to turn from your sins and go in another direction. That's what repentance is all about. And for many of us, and for maybe all of us, we have to have a different approach to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our minds have to change. We have to realize that He is the way and He alone is the way. And we must trust upon Him and look unto Him. And He tells us that we are to forsake our sins. All of your sins. You must forsake them. And you must believe. You must have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's required of you. And that's why we're here this afternoon, to tell you something about Christ. For how can you call upon someone you don't know? Most people really today are ignorant about the person and the work of the Lord Jesus. They don't know anything about Him. And therefore that's why it's important that you hear about this person, about this one who came from heaven in order to save sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. You might not like to realize this. You might not like to accept it. But as far as the Bible is concerned, if you're not in Christ, if you're not a follower of Christ, you're lost. Lost. And Jesus has come to save the lost. And in one sense, it is a great encouragement if you come to this realization that you are lost. Because when you come to this realization that you're lost, then you will seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you will call upon Him. But until that time, until you come to realize that you need Him, you will never call upon Him. You don't go to a doctor unless you're sick. You keep well away from the dentist if your teeth are okay. If you don't have pain in your mouth, you don't go to the dentist. But if you have pain in your mouth, you go to the dentist because you want the pain to be dealt with. And so it is with our sin. So it is with our lostness. So it is with our deadness. It's only when we realize what we are by nature and what we are in the sight of God, then we will run to the Lord Jesus. Then we will prize Him. Then we will think about Him. Not until then. That's why we're here. To tell you about Jesus Christ the Lord, that you might have Him as your Lord.